On this spotlight episode of the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about Evil Dead, the musical.
This is my boomstick!
Hello and welcome back. I'm your host, Chris Bastian, and like I said just a moment ago, this is a spotlight episode, which means it doesn't follow my normal format. It's probably going to be just a little bit shorter. It's just me and another gentleman on the mic today, and like I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be talking about Evil Dead, the musical. Let's go on and jump right on into this. My guest, who are you, my friend?
My name's Chris as well, Chris Bond. How do you do?
I'm good. Thank you for being on the show, sir.
Happy to be here.
So, before we talk about Evil Dead, let's learn a little bit about you. Chris, what is your story? What's your story? Tell me your story.
What's my story? I'm a Canadian who did some theater stuff back in school, was really into horror movies. And just thought that Evil Dead the musical would be, or Evil Dead the film rather, would be a kick-ass musical. Mm-hmm. And I guess right out of university, I couldn't really get a job because, you know, I was right out of university. Everyone knows that story, right? That chestnut. And I decided I really wanted to direct stuff, but direct theater, but I didn't have much of a resume at that point. So I thought, hey, well, why don't we write our own show? And I just remember seeing Evil Dead 2 and thinking, wow, that would be awesome on stage. So I kind of pitched the idea to a few of what would become my co-partners and co-creators in George Reinblatt and Frank Cipolla. And I said, let's do Evil Dead the musical. Let's squish the movies together.
So let me stop you there. Real quick. So Evil, like, just you thought it would be just a neat thing to put this on stage? Like, it's such a specific... I mean, I love the films.
Yeah.
That's just such an odd choice.
Well, in all, you know what? Here's what happened is I was an actor too.
Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Sure. I went to university for acting. I did a lot of musical theater. Loved like Gilbert and Sullivan and Sondheim and all that fun stuff, the classics. And then I went to a production of, or I was involved rather, I was performing in a production of the Rocky Horror Show. And that interactive kind of party aspect was something that really spoke to me. Like the audience being involved and they were drinking and kind of partying. And it was not just a show, but it was an event. And I thought to myself, wow, now that's something I want to do. I'd love to make a show that had that same kind of feeling where you were going to party and you were going to make some noise and be a part of the show. So to me... Evil Dead, I know this sounds ridiculous, but especially Evil Dead 2, we're talking about a trilogy of films here.
A very interesting trilogy.
Very unique trilogy. And if you've watched them all, they're totally different. The first one, I think the intention is to be a proper horror movie.
I think the first one wasn't that like a film thesis project for Sam Raimi when he was graduating?
Was it?
I thought it was.
I don't know. I just thought it was, hey, let's make this movie. We got about, you know... $100,000 from the bank, you know, and everyone maxed out their credit cards in that old story.
Right.
And they went out into the woods. They were actually in Tennessee, I believe.
Yes, I'm from Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
So I do know that bit of trivia.
Good. And they found this actually an abandoned cabin in Tennessee. I guess there's a lot of those in Tennessee.
Are there? Many Necronomicons.
Oh, yeah, they're all over the place. lots of cabins with trap doors and spooky cellars in Tennessee. So, yeah, it was supposed to be a scary movie. And then if you see Evil Dead 2, they essentially remake the movie
in the first
5 minutes, right? They eliminate characters and do their own thing.
But, yeah, they essentially, like, retell the first movie again a little bit different. But you're right. It's, like, in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then it kind of picks up as a sequel.
That's exactly it. And then, truthfully, it's got a different vibe. It's got this really Three Stoogey kind of slapstick fun, and it's super over the top, and there isn't just blood, but the blood's green, and gallons of it come shooting out of the wall, and it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. And then Army of Darkness is now this action epic
comedy.
Yeah. And you know, now you got these monsters telling jokes, and the truth is we saw this thing and we said, well, what would be the next evolution of Evil Dead? Well, then these monsters would sing and dance. So it actually makes perfect sense.
All right.
And if you take a step back and look at Evil Dead 2, it's all about this cabin in the woods and this cabin coming alive. And we thought, what better set than you're in this cabin and then the cabin comes alive and it's kind of one man against this evil in this cabin. So it really kind of played well into a stage show.
Okay. So you are the director of the show, correct?
Yes, I am.
You're also the writer?
I'm one of the writers. I'm one of the co-creators.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to give a shout out to your writing partner?
Yeah. George Reinblatt is the guy who really makes the punchlines. He is a comedy writer from Canada, and we went to university together along with Frank Cipolla, who we did music with. He's a big music guy. And we all kind of chipped in together. It was a real chain gang kind of thing. Everybody got in on different ideas and things like that. But George was the main punchline dude, and he's a super talented comedy writer from Canada.
So after this idea kind of came together and you guys started working on it, how exactly did the show, like, how did you get licensed to do the show? Like, did you create a spec script and submit that? Like, how did that happen?
You know what? It was a long time ago, but if I think I know my stuff, I know we emailed Bruce Campbell. And if you go onto Bruce Campbell's, like, website, he has two emails. One for fans and one for business. And if you're a fan, don't email the business line.
Okay.
Right? That was his rules. So we thought, okay, you know, we're business. So we emailed the old business line there and said, we have this great idea, and we're just a bunch of punks from Canada, and tried to kind of create that vibe. You remember when you were in Tennessee and you guys were fresh out of university trying to make it and you had no money and
you were playing that card.
Yeah, we played that card. We're the same thing, but we're just up in the Great White North, right? And they're all from Michigan, so they know snow and all that and hardship trying to make films. And Bruce Campbell was like, love the idea, guys. But, you know, you need to talk to the film studios. But he was really helpful. He pointed us in the right direction and supported us, which was a total surprise. And I believe we just had like a concept script. I think we had like three scenes of the adaptation of what, just a couple ideas of where songs would be and how things would go. Okay. And basically they said, yeah, just go ahead. You know, we're not going to sue you. You know, do whatever you want. It was small time. And that's led us to our very first production in 2003. And we did it at a bar in Canada, in Toronto.
Now, was that a limited license agreement? Did you all have any inkling that this was going to go much farther than it did?
No clue. It was literally, hey guys, if we do a musical about Evil Dead, I think we won't lose our money. Because even if it's bad, people will come see it because it's Evil Dead, right?
Yeah.
So if we go up there on stage and take a dump, we'll at least make our money back.
Right.
And then I'll have a credit on my resume, and you'll have a credit on your resume. And that was the pitch. Nobody made money, and we were all a bunch of friends, a lot of people from Queen's University, which is in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And everyone was really passionate about the project. They loved the idea. They thought it was fun. And I remember doing a workshop of it, and people actually coming to the workshop and being like, this doesn't suck, guys. This is pretty fun. And
so you did it in the bar.
Yeah.
And it, I'm assuming, was well received.
Well, here's the story about the bar.
Okay.
You remember the Eastern Seaboard Blackout? In 2003, wiped out a lot of Ontario, a lot of New York, a lot of...
I think I remember this.
It was a big blackout.
Okay.
That was our opening night.
Oh.
So we opened in the blackout. If you lived in Toronto, people definitely remember the blackout because, well, you were blacked out. It was a lot of people wandering around the street.
Okay.
And I remember I was actually had another theater job at the time. I was in I was working at Second City doing a show, Tony and Tina's Wedding.
We have that here.
Oh, do you? It's a big fake Italian wedding. And I remember it was my real job, so I was like, guys, I can't come to opening night. I have our little bar show here. But I wanted to drive by the theater on the way. And when I got to the theater, they were like, you haven't heard? Like the whole, I was listening to tunes, not the radio in the car, and the whole city's wiped out. So I'm like, well, why don't we just do it outside? And we literally hauled pieces of the set outside, and the band went acoustic.
Oh, wow.
And we just did it outside. And we had, instead of having like 50 or 60 people watch a show, we had like 600 people. Because everyone was outside, because it was blackout. It was a beautiful night. It was gorgeous outside. So instead of it being like this disaster, it ended up getting a lot of press in Canada. And we were in Time Magazine. We were in a bunch of stuff. It was really cool. And it was a total surprise. And it just goes to show the kind of luck we had, I guess, with this whole thing. You know, doing a show in a bar and getting that kind of coverage. And the coverage led to exposure and more people being like, oh, I want to see that. Mm-hmm. And then the run was really successful. And then we did the run again. We just showed up at the same bar a few months later with the same cast and crew. Did it again. And that's when we had producers looking at us and going, hey, you might actually have something here.
So after that point, you started taking it throughout all of Canada. Is that correct?
No, right? The first stop was the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival.
Okay.
Which is a huge festival. I don't know how much pub it gets in the U.S.
It gets pretty large publication here.
As far as I know, it's the biggest. If you're a stand-up comedian and you're looking at get your sitcom, you go to Just for Laughs, you do your set, and there's some programming director at some network that's going to pull you into a meeting and say, what do you got? Mm-hmm. Oh, I got this show. I'm this mall cop, and I have three kids, and they all hate me. Mm-hmm. It's called Everybody Hates Chris, you know?
Right.
Whatever your show is, a lot of them happen at Just for Laughs. So it just so happened that George, who's one of the co-creators, he was a writer at the Just for Laughs Festival, got some of the producers from JFL to come see our show. And they were really interested in launching it and it becoming a show under the Just for Laughs umbrella. And they were just starting to get into like a Just for Laughs theatrics, like their own theatrical presentations, not just stand up or, you know, a sketch or what have you. So that was really cool. They came, they loved the show. And then a year later, we were actually launched at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. And that was the springboard to producers from all over the world. We got, it was really cool. We were romanced by many a producer. It was very cool. But at that point, it wasn't a handshake and an email from Sam Raimi.
Right.
We had to have all the movie companies on board.
And this is three different movie companies at this point?
Three different movies, three different movie companies. But back then, we were only two. The show originally was called Evil Dead 1 and 2, the musical.
Ah,
all right, and okay. It was just one and two. There was no Army of Darkness stuff. So we were dealing with Anchor Bay, who owns Evil Dead, and Canal Plus, who owned Evil Dead 2. Later, we added the show just became Evil Dead the Musical, and we added some stuff from Army of Darkness.
Okay.
So then we had to get Universal involved. So it's kind of, it's a crazy contract.
It's really strange. Now, were those negotiations hard to do? Or, I mean, obviously you all are touring with this, so it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. I mean, I don't think it's never easy. And there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, you know, Sam and Bruce and all their people, and then all the studios, and then Just for Laughs, and essentially the producer that we settled on. And truthfully, it was really a part of all of us had our input as where the show should go next. But Sam Raimi felt, well, if you're going to do it, you're doing it in New York, because that's where theater should be. So he kind of made the decision for us and said, this is where you're going. And truthfully, we're all a bunch of punk kids. Like, we're in our early 20s, mid-20s, mm-hmm. just out of school. We're at Just for Laughs. We're just thrilled to be there.
Right.
You know, getting free beers and hanging out with celebrities. Feeling important for 5 minutes.
Did you shit your pants when you finally met Sam Raimi? Or
I've never met him.
What?
I've never met Sam. I've never met Sam. I've met Bruce a few times.
Okay.
Sam is, I mean, come on. He's doing Spider-Man. He's not. But he's a fan of the show. There is a poster of our show in his office, which is pretty great. Cool. And he keeps saying yes to letting us do it. So, and we send him money. So I think he's cool about it.
Nice.
I don't know if he's ever seen a show, or I know he's seen the show on tape and he likes it. That's all I know. But I've dealt with his lawyers, and I've dealt with Bruce often, and Bruce is great, and he's a huge supporter of the show.
Has he seen the show?
He has. We've had him many times to come in and do Q&As.
Okay.
He comes, he watches the show with the fans, he does a Q&A, he dumps blood on people. He's great.
He seems like he might be a really fun stage actor. Have you ever tried to get him into the show?
We've talked about it. I don't know how much of a singer Bruce is.
Okay.
But, and there isn't really a cameo for a guy like Bruce. But, hey, I would love to get Bruce out there singing. I'd be willing to give it a whirl if he wanted to do it. But I think Bruce has got, you know, bigger fish to fry.
Of course.
But I will say, he's been a huge advocate for our show. And he does, I mean, a big part of what is Bruce Campbell is he's on the Comic-Con and Fan Expo circuit. Because even with Burn Notice now and all these other great things, Xena and whatever else, Bruce does a lot of stuff, not just Evil Dead. He does all these Q&As, and Evil Dead the Musical always comes up. and he always has nothing but great things to say about it and says, either do the show or go see the show. And he's actually in Toronto this weekend, and he's giving out some of our tickets for the show in Toronto, which is really cool. So he's been great. He's a nice guy. But he is Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Like, the guy you see on TV is the guy you hang out with. He's not like a different dude and he's quieter. He's the same dude. He's kind of got that, you know.
Yeah.
I have a picture, I have an autographed that's framed in my office. And it says, don't quit your J job, you know. Bruce Campbell. I'm like, that's Bruce.
You mentioned it played in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Where has the show toured?
So once we did New York, we got to New York and we were at the New World Stages, which was a really new facility. It's really cool. They took like an old movie theater, but not like an old movie theater, like one of those very new concrete-y multiplexes, and it was underground, and they made it into this big theater space, and there was 6 or 7 different musicals or plays or whatever going on in rehearsal space, and it was a new thing, and it was really cool, and we were kind of their flagship show, and we had a great experience in New York. It was our first professional show. This is when we were finally a union presentation. I got a chance to work with Hinton Battle, who's won a bunch of Tony Awards, and he's a kind of a famous choreographer type, and he worked on the show, and he was cool.
Is the show an equity show? Or it has
Well,
been,
it's
or...
been, yeah. Okay. It depends on the presentation. But
okay.
It was a great production. We ran for about 6 or 7 months, so we did all right. It wasn't like 2 weeks, which... I think there was a show at the New World Stages that played for 4 days and then it closed.
Yeah.
That was right beside us. And we were like, we better go sell some tickets. But New York was awesome. And I was down there for maybe four months or something like that. And it was great. I was sad to see it closed. But we'd like to get back there one day. And then after we did New York, all of a sudden the rights to the world opened up and people were licensing the show and building shows all over the world, and we've had shows in Korea and Spain and
really
all over the place. It's been really great.
Any tidbits or information as to how the show is received worldwide? And do you have to change anything? I'm personally just like flabbergasted that I didn't know Evil Dead had like such a reach. I really thought of it as a American just cult movie franchise. So I'm surprised to hear that you guys have taken this worldwide. I think that's spectacular.
Oh man, it's super cool. But yeah, I mean, horror and zombies is totally universal.
It's true.
And if you look up Evil Dead, like Evil Dead posters, you'll see Evil Dead, like the old school posters in Dutch or Finnish. This movie's it's a classic, and it's a part of the... when you think of zombies, I think George Romero first, and I think Evil Dead second. That's me. That's me. So it's out there. And I was actually a little bit surprised, but at the same time, not so surprised, because it's Bruce and Sam, and that franchise is so much fun. And it was unique because it was zombies, but fun zombies. And I don't think fun zombies had been done yet. You know what I mean? So I think it really connected with a really big audience. So when we started doing the musical, people were like down to hear it, and we've been really lucky. It's pretty cool. I have a poster of the Evil Dead Korea show in my office as well, and I don't understand any of what it says, but I think it says Evil Dead on it.
And are you pretty involved with the show currently? I know you're currently directing what's here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you always direct the show, or sometimes do you take a backseat to that? Or?
I direct any first class or presentation of the show in North America.
Okay.
So when someone does it in Korea, no, I don't speak Korean so good.
Sure.
So it might be tough. I will say that we are... In the midst of negotiating the possibility of doing Evil Dead the musical in Spanish in Mexico, so which I'd be involved with, which will be really interesting. So I downloaded that app Duolingo, and I've been trying to learn some Spanish, waiting for this gig to happen. Hopefully it does, but a lot of the bigger European shows we just get a royalty as an author, but that's about it. But it'd be anything that's a big, big show in North America, we usually are the guys putting it on. But otherwise, stock and amateur rights are available. So, like, okay. Schools do it. Community theater groups really? Do it. I think it's great. Yeah, it's fantastic. I finally went to a high school production of it with, like, they cut out all the swearing. I was like, what the heck was that, you know? Instead of what the, you know, fuck was that.
Right.
And they had, because it was a school, you know, they had, like, a zombie chorus of, like, 40 zombie kids. It was awesome.
Can you kind of speak a little bit about, without spoiling too much, mm-hmm. The show specifically, for instance, like, what type of music... musical is it? Like, is it a rock opera? Is it more like in the lines with Phantom, maybe something more of an operetta or classical? Like, how is the show actually structured?
I think what's cool about our show is that it literally has a little something for everybody. Okay. I would say it has it's got a rockin' vibe, but I wouldn't say it's a rock opera. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
I have auditioned with songs from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor.
Any dream will do.
but I've actually not seen the show.
No? Well, what's cool about the show is that it's got a lot of different flavors. I mean, there's an Elvis kind of song in it, and there's a Western song in it, and there's like kind of a French song, like a lamenting song, and there's just all these different kind of tunes. And we want to do the same thing with our show. We wanted to have like Broadway standards, mm-hmm. but also one of the songs is like a disco number. We have some rock stuff. We have a tango. I mean, there's all kinds of different flavors of tunes. So it's a lot of fun. And we think it connects with everybody. There's going to be some kind of fan of some genre in the audience mm-hmm. going, oh, I like that kind of 50s doo-wop song you just did. So it's totally unique. And we also dump blood all over the audience the first four rows, and that's pretty unique too.
Getting a little bit of a Rocky Horror vibe.
Well, Rocky like Horror, they just threw like stuff. They didn't throw blood. Like, we're like right up there with Gwar. Like, we really dump stuff on the audience.
I want to take kind of a step to the side here. I warned you I was going to ask you this question. Shoot. So just for you personally, and you could take this personally or as the show too. Three movies mm-hmm. that have influenced you as an artist, and three musicals that have influenced you as an artist.
Ooh, okay. This is fun.
So okay, do whichever one you want to first.
Well, I'm going to just omit Evil Dead, because if I don't say Evil Dead, I'm a dick, right?
Yeah.
And if I don't say Night of the Living Dead, I'm a dick. If I don't say Cannibal, I'm a dick. So I'm going to just push those off the table. My three favorite movies of all time... Well, number one is Spaceballs. Mel Brooks, love Mel Brooks. And I was a Star Wars fan as a kid, so it was just like two of my favorite things being squashed together. My dad was born in England, and I grew up with like Benny Hill and Fawlty Towers. Okay. So Monty Python's Holy Grail, like the Monty Python just blew my mind with that dry humor. And then I would say South Park the Movie, which is really a musical. True. And... you know, we are with the Trey Parker, the way they write music, and it's lyrical driven. It's all about comedy and emphasizing comedy, and hearing the lyrics is paramount. It's not about the intonation or the moment. It's about the joke. Mm-hmm. And that's something I totally subscribe to. And so does Evil Dead, the musical. And so while I was doing Evil Dead, having heard South Park, the movie, I was like, this is how we do it. This is the kind of vibe we're throwing out there. Okay. We might not be as crass as Trey Parker is sometimes, but anyway, that movie really spoke to me. As far as musicals go, I was totally a classics guy. I was a kid growing up on Andrew Lloyd Webber and Sondheim. And
I love me some Webber.
Yeah, like I think the first show I ever saw was Phantom. Like,
it's a good show.
Yeah, but my favorite musicals... And if I could, I mean, Pirates of Penzance, I remember as a kid seeing a Kevin Kline movie and then loving that musical just because it was so zany and ridiculous, and thinking that it's okay for musicals to be zany and ridiculous. And then after that, I would say I do love Spamalot. I mean, I hate to be that guy that double dips the Holy Grail musical. Right. it's so if only Spaceballs had a musical. Mel Brooks, I don't know if he'll give me the rights. I think my third favorite musical of all time, you know what? It was at the time, and I'll say this, was Jekyll and Hyde the musical.
Oh, okay.
So when we were writing this, I really loved this dark and kind of sexy and sinister kind of show. And there's bumps in our show that are definitely Jekyll and Hyde-y, mm-hmm. That are kind of, you know, Ash being really sultry and dark. And so, I don't know. Yeah, I use that as a bit of a point of reference. But those are my faves.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you were able to answer that.
I should have wrote something down, but yeah, there you go.
You did just fine.
I did all right?
Sweet. So, if somebody wants to see your show, where can I find information about it? Is there a website I can go to?
There is so many ways you can figure out about this thing.
And what is the run? What is the tour? All of that stuff. All
right. So, we're rehearsing in Chicago, but we're actually leaving town for a few weeks and then coming back. And we open up in Chicago for 3 weeks. We open September 23rd, and I believe we close October 12th.
Okay.
If you're looking for information, first of all, the show is at the Broadway Playhouse.
Okay.
Which is on East Chestnut.
I believe you might be correct.
I might be close. I know about four streets in this town, and East Chestnut is one of them. You can check us out on, naturally, you can just go to evildeadthemusical.com. You can follow us on Twitter at evildeadthetour. Yeah, those are the good ones. Or if you just go onto your Ticketmaster or whatever, just type in Evil Dead Musical Chicago. You'll find us quick.
Okay.
We're easy to find.
Okay.
I'm told there's posters up. I told you that today.
I'm seeing
it's
posters
really cool.
Everywhere I go.
Yeah?
I'm trying to put up posters for my show, and I'm seeing posters for your show.
Sorry, man.
So, no, that's all right.
I didn't even know. I'm up here in North Center, so I don't know what's going on downtown.
For the Chicago audience, how much do ticket prices range from?
You know what? I don't know, but it's worth every penny.
Okay.
But I will say that I think the top ticket is the splatter zone area, which is okay. Where if you want to get covered in blood, and we have this big blood fight at the end of the show, and the whole audience the splatter zone gets hammered with blood. It's like nothing you've ever seen, so it's worth every penny. I think there's a totally varied pricing depending on where you're sitting, and I couldn't tell you the prices offhand.
Okay. Yeah. And you said you close here on the 12th, and didn't you guys go on tour, or?
Well, this is actually not the start of the tour. We're rehearsing here.
Okay.
We're teching here, and then we're moving to Madison, Wisconsin, and we're opening in Madison. And then we play a week in Texas, in Austin, Texas. And then we come here.
Okay.
And then I'm not sure where we go after. I do know we're back in Toronto for a limited run. And then we're Ohio, we're in Fort Lauderdale, we're in, there's a lot of cities. I don't know. There's like 20 something cities. We roll until about December.
Okay.
And then we take a couple months off, and then we're at it again in March.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone wants to find information about that, as Chris said, you can go to the websites and see the tour schedule. Sir, anything else you want to say about Evil Dead the Musical? Anything you'd like to say to our audience?
Well, I'll just say first, I'm going to start with, Chicago's been a great town.
Oh, thank you.
And we were able to get some fantastic talent, local Chicago talent, right here in the Windy City. It's been really impressive. A great bunch of kids. And it's just a cool town. I don't think I've had a bad meal yet. I've definitely gained 15 pounds, and I'm a chunky dude. So I'm even chunkier. Thank you, Chicago. I haven't even had your deep dish pizza yet, and I'm humongous. But I tell you, it's probably one of the funnest, craziest music theater experiences you'll ever have. You don't have to be a horror fan or a genre fan or even an Evil Dead fan to enjoy the show. If you just like having a good time, this is the show for you. It's not scary. It's just balls to the wall funny and creative and zany. And I don't think you'll ever see another show like it. It's totally unique. So if you get a chance, come on down. I'd be happy to see you. I'll see you there. I'll wave to you.
Sounds great. Can you give us a little hint as to what might be on the future horizon for Chris Bond?
I got a couple things coming down the pipe. Cannibal the Musical is my next big endeavor, which is really exciting.
That is based on, that's Trey Parker's movie, right?
That's right. Trey Parker.
It's like one of his first films?
That was the first thing he did. It was like a film kind of project at school.
Okay. I've seen that.
I'm sure you have.
And it's really good if I'm thinking of what I think it is.
Well, of course it's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Trey Parker. It is pretty crazy. It's it's I mean, it was the first thing out of school.
And sure.
So in the last maybe 7 or 8 years, a lot of people have been saying, going up to Trey Parker and saying, I want to do your show, do your Cannibal the Musical as a show, you know, locally at schools or whatever. And basically people have just been adapting the film script and just said, yeah, go ahead. So I approached them and said, hey, I'm the guy from Evil Dead. I would love to create a libretto for you, make it a proper script for all your licensing, and I want to write new original music and just do a proper adaptation. And they actually let us, and which was unbelievable. And so now we're finally putting on a professional, the biggest and most professional presentation of Cannibal the Musical ever. And it's going to be launched in Toronto in February. Ooh. And we're hoping to take it on tour in 2015. I wouldn't be surprised if we come right back here to Chicago because it's such a great town. And man, I didn't realize how much theater action there was in Chicago.
It is just spectacular bustling. Now. Yeah.
Oh, it's great. I've never seen so many storefront theaters, and just it's just crawling with talent. So I'm excited to come back here with hopefully Cannibal or whatever else. And got some other things coming down the pipe too, but really excited about Cannibal and really excited about Evil Dead playing here for 3 weeks. So don't you dare miss it.
Great. Well, sir, hopefully I'll get to have you on again with Cannibal the Musical.
That'd be awesome.
In the not-too-distant future. In the meantime, I wish you the best of luck with your run. And I hope everything goes well.
Thanks so much. Can I give a big shout out?
You totally can.
So all the fans of the show out in Australia and Germany, just keep hanging in there, man. I know you're like, I've never heard of this show, but maybe one day Evil Dead will be in your town and it'll be awesome. I think it has played in Germany, actually.
Oh, great.
I think it has been Evil Dead in Germany.
I have some Germany listeners, so that would be...
That's why I'm giving a shout out to those guys, just Australia and Germany, because those are the ones that know. But big ups to those guys. Keep checking out this podcast. Chris is a super guy, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
What's your name again, sir? My guest here today?
Christopher Bond.
Christopher Bond. It's been a pleasure talking with you. If you're in the Chicago area, please check this show out. I'm hoping to see it in the next week or two, and I'm really looking forward to it. So,
oh, yeah.
I've been your host, Chris Bashan. If you have any questions, comments, or protests, please email them to nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to this Spotlight episode about Evil Dead the Musical with Christopher Bond.